biblical hope is what allows Christians to live at peace with God. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell shares with us how to have faith when others fear.
The fact of the matter is that dead faith touches the intellect, but it doesn't change the heart. Demonic faith can touch the emotions, but it doesn't change the heart. But a dynamic faith touches the heart and in turn affects your whole life, and you want to serve God and live for God and do the will of God.
The promises of the Bible and the person of Jesus Christ are more relevant and powerful than ever before. In our series, Reasons for Our Hope, your heart will be encouraged and your perspective renewed as you learn more about the hope Jesus Christ came to offer. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In today's message, you will be assured that no matter how hopeless your situation may seem, with Christ, there is always hope. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called An Effective Faith.
There is a verse in the book of Proverbs that says this: hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Have you ever had something you really hoped would happen, but it didn't happen? Have you ever had something you looked forward to, maybe a raise at work or maybe a promotion, and you thought you were right there, and then it just didn't work out the way you thought? Many people expect, for example, that after they're saved, that life will be perfect. That after Jesus comes into their heart, that everything's just going to be perfect. Life will be a bed of roses. There will be no problems at all. And then when their faith hits a trial or a test, and they find that things aren't exactly what they thought, their heart becomes sick. They can become discouraged because they think to themselves, hey, I've got Jesus in my life. Why am I experiencing these kinds of emotions? Why am I experiencing these kinds of problems? The fact of the matter is that in many areas of our lives, we're going to hit up against times where things aren't what we thought they would be in the first place. For example, I remember when we bought our very first family car. And when Terry and I met, we both drove pickup trucks. And she had a Toyota SR5 truck, and a brand new shiny brown truck with light beige pinstriping. And I had a semi-used Mazda pickup truck. My wife often says that I started dating her for her truck. But when we were married and when our first child was born, we said, you know, we're not going to be able to have opportunity to run the family around in trucks. We're going to have to get a family car. So we went to a car dealership down in Long Beach, California, and the man was a Christian, so he was going to give us a good deal. And if you ever had good deals from Christians like that? And you know, they put the little fish on the sticker there and tell you that they're a Christian. So we went in, and he showed us this orange Honda station wagon, and it was quite old, but it had been polished up, looked pretty good, and so we gave him our trade-in and our money and set up a payment plan for the rest of the payments and so forth, and we were so excited to have this Honda station wagon. And one of the reasons was that at that time I was preaching every weekend now down near Indio, California, out by the Salton Sea, and it got real hot out there, and I said, honey, what a blessing. We're going to have air conditioning now, a family car to go out and do the Lord's work with. Well, it was a blessing. In fact, the car got us all the way to the Salton Sea that next Sunday. The only problem was it didn't get us home. In fact, the car decided to break down right near Cabazon. Have any of you ever driven along Interstate 10 where the big dinosaurs are out by the side of the road? Have you ever seen those out there? Well, we got a close-up look at the dinosaurs that day. And that car, as it sputtered to a stop, we pulled over to the side. And as we pulled over to the side, we saw all the steam coming up out of the engine and so forth. I walked around the car. I kicked the tire, you know. I tried to figure out what I was going to do about this situation. And all of a sudden, this verse became a reality in my life. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. I hadn't made one payment on that car, and it already had me over on the side of the road. Well, there are some people who, after they accept Jesus as their Savior, all of a sudden they have some trials, some problems, and it's just not going like they thought it would go, and hope deferred makes their heart sick. But I want to tell you this morning that God will bring these times into our life, not so that we will become weaker, but so that we will become stronger. Not so that we will become bitter, but so that we will become better in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the book of James, you find at least three different kinds of faith. And I want you to see them by way of introduction this morning. First of all, there is what the Bible calls a dead faith. James 2:17 says, "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Dead faith. If someone has never truly been born again, then there's no real life, and their faith is dead. Sometimes people have been born again, but they're not yielding to the Lord, and they're not reading His Word, and their faith has begun to suffer rigor mortis, and it's a dead kind of a faith. Then there's another kind of faith. I've called it a demonic faith. You say, well, that sounds strange, a demonic faith? Yes, a demonic faith. The Bible says in chapter 2 and verse 19, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Did you know the devils believe in God? Every once in a while, people who are becoming involved in more and more of a pluralistic or humanistic philosophy, they'll say something like, "Well, Pastor Chappell, I mean, can't we just all get along? I mean, all the religions, I mean, we all believe in God, right?" And that sounds logical to human reasoning, but if you're going to broaden it, you might as well say, "Hey, the devil believes in God. Why don't we have prayer with him?" You say, "Well, that sounds ridiculous." You're exactly right. We've got to recognize that just because someone believes something in their head doesn't mean they've been converted in their heart. And so the Bible says even the devils believe. There's dead faith, there's demonic faith. Then the kind of faith we want to learn about this morning is dynamic faith. The kind of faith that works like a well-oiled engine. The kind of faith that will pull us through in the difficult times. And that's what we're calling this morning an effective faith. Now, how can we develop a stronger, more effective faith? And I want to share with you this morning three ways that I believe your faith can become strong in the Lord, that you will be a Christian with a strong and dynamic faith each and every day. First of all, notice today that an effective faith is a waiting faith. An effective faith is a waiting faith. James chapter 1, verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Now, sometimes in the development of our faith, God will place us into a slowing down and a waiting process. God will allow a testing time into our lives. And God says when that happens, we are to count it all joy. In fact, notice in verse 2, it says, "Count it all joy when you fall in." If you underline your Bibles, take note of the word "when." God doesn't say if you have a trial. God says when you have a trial. Every person here who is saved will have their faith tested. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And many of you have experienced testings and trials in your faith. And this word here, temptations, means trials and difficulties in life. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:12, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." Someone says, "Man, I'm a Christian now, and yet I'm still having health problems. I'm still having financial problems, and that sure seems strange. And I thought when I became a Christian, everybody would love me, but my old friends think I'm weird now that I'm a Christian, and I just don't understand why my family won't rejoice that I go to church all the time. They seem to feel bitter that I go to church all the time," and on the list can continue. Why? The Bible says, don't think it's strange when trials come. It is not strange. In fact, all those that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's a part of your development of a strong and effective faith. And God wants us to learn how to develop our faith by waiting on Him. In fact, those who were the first recipients of the book of James, they lived in the first century in what we would call today Turkey. And many of those Christians in that area would oftentimes be imprisoned for their faith in Christ. They would be spat upon and beaten and sometimes killed because they believed in Jesus Christ. And so God says to them, I want you to recognize the need to let the trying of your faith work patience in your life. Now, there's two ways that we can wait on the Lord. First of all, we can wait joyfully. We can wait joyfully. Someone says, well, how can I be joyful about my trial? Here's why. We can be joyful because God is at work. God is always working on our behalf, even through the waiting time, even through the trying time, even through the difficult time. Look at your notes there, 2 Corinthians 12:9, and let me give you the background to that passage. The Apostle Paul was a mighty man of God, but he had suffered some physical infirmities, some say a disease of the eyes. Paul the Apostle three times asked Jesus Christ to heal him. And it's not wrong to ask Jesus to heal you. And by the way, Jesus alone is the great physician. But three times God chose not to heal the Apostle Paul. Sometimes the so-called faith healers who want to say that they can heal and they have a ministry of healing and come to their crusade and they'll heal you, I'd like to take them down to the hospital to do some healing for some of our church members today. You see, they're not the healers. Only Jesus is the healer. But the fact of the matter is that even this great man, the Apostle Paul, God did not choose to heal him. Isn't that amazing? And yet the Bible says concerning his situation, 2 Corinthians 12:9, that Jesus said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory rather in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Jesus said to Paul, Paul, my strength is made perfect, complete, and whole in your weakness. And one of the truths that we know of the Christian life is that when we are weak, then God's strength can become real in our lives. But when we are strong in our own ways, many times we do not depend on the Lord. But when we're having trouble, whether it's family trouble or health trouble, it's at those times when we say, Lord, I need your strength. And that's why Paul said, I am going to be glad in my infirmities, because it is during those times of sickness and weakness that the power of Christ rests upon my life. And so God challenges us today to wait joyfully, knowing that his strength is real when we are weak. Notice, not only are we to wait joyfully, but we are to wait patiently. Now, someone says, now the last thing I need is a message on patience, Pastor. Well, let me tell you, God wants us to learn how to wait patiently on him. Notice what the Bible says in verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, God's challenge to us is that we would wait patiently. Faith is the refusal to panic. Faith is the belief that God is at work. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And when we know that God is at work, we can let patience run its full course. In fact, notice what it says there in verse number 4. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may become perfect. The word perfect there means mature. Make note of that. God says, let patience have its complete work. You know what I find? I find a lot of Christians that when their trial comes, when their sickness comes, when their job isn't what they want, instead of letting God work in their heart, they bail out on God. They jump ship on God. They find themselves by the roadside like a broken down Honda station wagon, just sitting there going nowhere. We've got to say, as the trial comes, I'm going to stay true. I'm going to let this run its completed cycle. When I went to Bible college, I had never done laundry in my life before. And my mom had me pretty well spoiled. And so here I am in a laundromat trying to figure out how in the world to do laundry. And as I was there one particular day, I was running late to work. And I had to get all the way from San Dimas over to the Pomona area where I was working at that time. And so I thought, now, you know, surely it doesn't take all this long to wash a garment. And I threw all these clothes in that washing machine, and I put a lot of soap in there. I put a little extra soap just to make sure everything got real clean. And as it went around for a while, I think it finished up the spin cycle. I looked in, things smelled pretty clean, looked pretty good to me. So I just pulled everything out of the washer, threw it in the dryer, whipped it around a little bit. Later on, I tried to press it some. Folks, when I put those clothes on, they were the most itchy, clumpy clothes you've ever had on in your life. When I tried to iron some of those clothes, it was like ironing a sandbar at the ocean. I'm telling you, those clothes made me itch. That soap was still in there. And I learned a very valuable lesson that day. Don't rush the washing machine. And I want to challenge you, when trials come in your life, don't rush the washing machine. Don't say, that's it, I'm out of this relationship. That's it, I'm tired of my family. That's it, I'm moving to Idaho where all the streams are peaceful. And I'll just have a great, no, wait a minute. We need to learn to wait on the Lord. Let patience have its completed work so that we might be a completed work. You show me someone who's prone to bailing out, I'll show you someone who's got a lot of growing up to do still. God says we are to wait on Him. You see, God is developing endurance in our lives. Notice what it says in verse 3, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The word patience means to remain under pressure, to remain under pressure. And I thank God for people who are steady and who are faithful. And the reason you can say that about some people is because they have been steady under pressure. God wants to develop endurance, and God wants to develop maturity in your life. And so we're to let patience have its perfect or complete work. Now, an effective faith is a waiting faith. An effective faith during the difficult time says, God, I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm going to wait on you to do what you want to do inside of me. And as we learn to wait on the Lord during the trials, God will strengthen our heart, for His strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, an effective faith is not only a waiting faith, but secondly, an effective faith is a willing faith. A willing faith. And I want you to hear this morning. Every one of us, if we're going to have an effective faith, we're going to have a willing heart. Notice what the Bible says in verse 19. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now, how many men here today would say, you know, sometimes I'm just the opposite of that. I'm swift to speak and slow to hear. Well, we have two honest men. All right, good, wonderful. We are going to have quite an altar call this morning. Most of us are swift to speak and swift to anger and slow to listen. But this verse says we're to be swift to listen. We are to be willing to listen. And so notice, we're to be willing to listen. Now, I want to ask you this question this morning. Did you come to this service today? Did you come into this room and sit into that seat today anticipating in your heart that God would speak to you? I didn't ask you if you came to hear the choir or if you came to hear the preacher. I'm asking you, did you come this morning to hear from God? Are you willing to listen? Are you ready to listen to the Word of God? Proverbs 8:32 says, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me. Sometimes someone will say, well, we were going to such and so church, but we just weren't being fed there. And you know, sometimes that may be true. I know of some churches that have very little Bible preaching. They're doing more music and drama and all kinds of fluff stuff, but not getting into the Word of God. And so sometimes that may be a fair statement. But wait a minute. Did you know that if someone's sitting in church and they don't have a willing heart and their heart's not open, that Jesus Christ Himself could preach and they'd get nothing out of it? Folks, we've got to come into this church house with a willing and an open heart saying, God, speak to my heart today. I want to hear from you today. And if your heart looks like this morning, nothing's going to come unless you are ready and willing to listen to the Word of God. And I know a lot of Christians with selective hearing. If it's a song they like, boy, they're in tune. They'll remember a funny story, but will they hear from the Word of God, you see? That's the question. And we must not have selective hearing when it comes to God's Word. We must hear the whole counsel of the Word of God. We must be willing to listen. Secondly, we must be willing to receive. Willing to receive. Notice James 1:21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now, we must lay aside the sin and the weights, the naughtiness that's in our heart that would cause us to not receive the word of God. We must purify our hearts. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. We've got to prepare our heart, if you will, so that there's no wicked thoughts there prevailing, so that the Word of God can get in. Several weeks ago, we had our first little bit of warmth here in the Antelope Valley, and I got all excited. I thought spring had come. How many of you get confused by our weather sometimes? Well, I got excited about the warm weather, and I bought some seeds of radishes and corn and such, and I went to the backyard, and I planted some rows of these different vegetables, and I was excited about it. And then all of a sudden, here came the cold weather again, cold and rain and cold and rain, and nothing was growing in the backyard until a few days ago. It got warm again, and I went back out into that garden as the warm weather came. I wanted to see how it was going, and guess what I saw? Weeds. Lots and lots of weeds, big, healthy weeds. Now, I did not go to the store, the hardware store, and buy weed seed. I did not say, give me some seeds for dandelions, give me some seeds for bindweed, and so I can plant some seeds for the weeds. No. Most people don't plant seeds for the weeds. They just come up by themselves, and that's how sin is. It sneaks into the life, and it begins to choke your heart so that when the preaching's coming, the seed can't even get in. If I'm going to have any kind of a garden this summer, I'm going to have to get out in that yard the next day or two, and I'm going to have to hoe up some of those weeds and get them out of the way so that that fruit can grow. And if you're going to have any kind of a spiritual life, you're going to have to purify your heart and eradicate the weeds and lay aside the naughtiness, lay aside the wickedness, and say, God, I am ready not only to hear, but I'm ready to receive what you have for me. We must simply open our hearts and receive the engrafted Word of God. The church at Thessalonica received the Word of God, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the very Word of God. Now, if you're going to have an effective faith, first of all, it will be a waiting faith, patiently waiting on the Lord during the trials. Secondly, it will be a willing faith, listening to the Lord and moving aside those things that would choke out His Word from your heart. Notice thirdly, if we're going to have an effective faith, it's going to be a working faith. A working faith. Now, someone says, well, I don't like that word, work. It makes me get nervous. I don't know if I want to hear about this point. Well, let's see what the Bible says. Chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Or could that kind of faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now, the fact of the matter is that if you are not working out your faith, if you're not faithful to the things of God, if you're not growing in your spiritual life, there will come doubts into your heart about your relationship with God. God's desire is that you would have an effective, working faith.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Pastor Chappell, along with the Lancaster Baptist Church Choir, Orchestra, and Media Team, will present Jesus Saves, a captivating narrative about the life and death of Jesus on Saturday, March 26th at 6 p.m. and Sunday, March 27th at 8:30 and 11 a.m. We invite you to be our guest and to experience Easter like never before. You can find out more about this event when you visit lancasterbaptist.org. As a companion to today's series, we are offering Dr. Chappell's newest book entitled Renew, 90 Days of Spiritual Refreshment. This beautiful, hardback 90-day devotional guide will encourage you to seek God's face and renew your heart in His Word. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. You can order it by calling 1-800-201-7748. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.